Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. My name is Darius Wasafi, and today I am speaking with Mohammed Amer, which is a veteran in many ways. So both in the service, and thank you for that, as well as a veteran in the retail space. So hi, Mohammed, how are you?
Hi, Darius. Hello, everyone out there.
All right, nice to have you on. So we're gonna do a quick interview today. We want to get into like a lot of different things, especially on related to AI and how AI is impacting the retail space. Maybe we can start with a brief bio on your background.
Sure. So I did spend 10 years on active duty. I resigned my commission as a lieutenant commander. I was naval aviator and naval intelligence with the last set of duties in at the Pentagon. Then I went through business school, make that transition to the private sector, did some general management in the office products wholesale area. Then management consulting in the retail and CPG arena, started a company with a colleague around supply chain transportation and inventory visibility. We had a successful exit, went through SAP for about 16, 18 years, and where I focused on retail from grocery to overall retail, supply chain to merchandising, store, et cetera. And at the end of that period, made a pivot to strategic communications that kind of tied together everything that I had been doing from IT, from strategy, from organization, product management, and so on. And since then, I've been doing some work on with startup companies in an advisory capacity, and also I'm a certified board advisor.
Okay, awesome. So right now, that's primarily what you're doing, correct? Advisory, board advisory work?
Advisory and consulting, helping organizations really innovate to deal with all the changes that are happening around them, you know, with the sweet spot being in the retail, but a lot of this is applicable to adjacent segments as well.
Okay, awesome. That's a great background. And so let's do this. Let's jump in. And in the new tradition of everything else that we do, I asked ChatGPT to give me a list of what I guess we're calling ChatGPT it, not he or she or anything, right? So no gender yet. I asked it what it thinks about is going to happen in commerce and how AI is going to evolve this year. So what I'll do is that I'll go through the responses, and each one we can say if we agree or disagree, or we say maybe.
Okay.
So, okay, cool. So on B2B, we'll start with B2B. So B2B, hyper-personalized sales and marketing, and they're saying that it's saying that AI will enable account-based marketing at scale, and the content is also going to be tailored to the user. So do we think this is actually going to make a major growth in 2025 or not?
Yeah, the way I think about AI, it sees patterns, it accelerates the decision, it just does everything that we can do much faster, much smarter, and it's just more aware. So, of course, yes, it will help in that, but again, it just can't do it all on its own right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So, agreement.
Okay. Yeah. So I also agree that it is going in that direction. How much of an expansion is it going to happen in 2025? It remains to be seen, because especially at the enterprise level, things don't happen that quickly, especially with retailers. So, but I agree also that's a growth area. Okay. So the second one is on B2B is smarter procurement and supply chain management, and AI powered predictive analytics will optimize inventory levels, forecast demand, and reduce procurement risks, as well as supply chain orchestration.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. So in here, as long as the training was done properly, you've identified the right risks and so on. You're going to be making better decisions, of course, and faster decisions. It just the challenge will be being whiplashed. You're mm-hmm. making decisions so quickly to every hiccup out there that you may be overreacting. So that's the other side of that coin.
Okay, but in 2025, do you see major innovation and improvement in that process?
Supply chain is one of the slower areas for investments by companies. So I don't think that 2025 will be a year of breakout in that area, even though it can be helpful.
What about procurement? Same?
So procurement, the planning around procurement, yes, AI will, I think a lot of companies will start implementing that or bringing that in, but where they will have trouble with executing on, how do you manage that? So there'll be adoption and then there'll be disappointment. And then we'll see what happens in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, of course, everything that companies are going to do, one of the things that we're all hoping that people are going to learn better and better is to set better expectations and not expect things to just, you know, explode and become so like successful in a short time. So I think that's a good point that we're and I'm hoping across all of these things, when you do experiments and you're doing innovation, you need to set your expectations or you'll be disappointed. And maybe it's a wrong disappointment. What could be the wrong one if your expectations were unreasonable.
Yeah, and I do want to separate between planning systems and execution systems. And mm-hmm. AI can be very, very good in the planning things. On the execution side where there's human intervention, it can also go well in that, but it's just a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, it takes more time. So I personally have seen a couple of really interesting procurement AI companies. I'm also seeing supply chain movements, not as much. So I would say procurement is probably going to move faster, especially because it just directly actually impacts your bottom line. So I think that's I guess my prediction would be that in 2025 we're going to see more integration of procurement AI.
Okay, let me I know we're not going to spend too much time on each one of these, but just think about procurement where you worked out a contract through AI and you were able to negotiate really advantageous terms, but it does require you on the execution side for your accounts payable to pay with a certain number mm-hmm. of days. And then you have a CFO that's trying to manage margins before the quarterly call with, it's a public company, it's publicly traded, and they're trying to manage that. And they really need to make things stretch out a little bit. So all of a sudden, you can articulate a beautiful plan. AI helped you with that. You can see even how you should be executing it. But then other things intervene that upset that beautiful plan. So
yeah, there's definitely a complexity in there that needs to be taken into account. But even if it's you are able to go through contracts faster, that is an improvement.
Absolutely.
So okay.
No doubt about that.
Cool. So next one is automated negotiation and contracts, which is I think the related to that same conversation.
Right.
AI agents will facilitate automated contract negotiation. Automated contract negotiation. That's interesting. You need to have, for this to actually really become mainstream, is you need to have agents on both sides.
Yeah.
And these agents should be able to talk to each other. So I think So what do you think? What are your thoughts on that happening
That
in
could,
2025?
yeah, it's a tall mountain, but it can happen with some of the larger players. Okay. The larger wholesalers, larger manufacturers, vendors, etc., with the larger retailers, but you're not going to get that adoption or participation as you go down the echelons.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of the actually things that I really would like to see is AI agents actually read all kinds of contracts, like all these terms of use agreements that we just signed. Like it comes up, new software comes up, boom. I don't have a choice. I don't even know what's in it. I'm like supposed to, and I never, nobody reads them. I think it would be really interesting, maybe a side point, but that would be the same type of thing that AI is just going to read this and say, you know what, this is what changed, and this is what you need to know. Now, sign or not, whatever, but this is like, yeah.
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful use for AI, and it can highlight things that are unusual in the terms or things that are more advantageous to you and so on. And then you then decide.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one is seamless integration between platforms. AI will drive interoperability between enterprise systems, example, CRMs, ERPs, procurement tools via APIs, and natural language queries. So I think that's probably the key word. There, we already have API integration. It's just how we communicate and how we query.
Yeah, so it makes it more easier for a business user versus an IT specialist to deal with that. And that, so I think that is a real potential. It does create some other interesting situations within an enterprise, but yes.
Okay, so in the meantime, if you have actually seen startups or companies pitching these products that are relevant, let's bring it up. I'm also thinking that negotiation or integration between like natural language is going to be one of the more profound changes we're going to see. And the challenge that I see on that is user behavior. Humans are not used to have a natural conversation with machines. We are just used to, we've been trained for the last 30 days to just say keywords. And for us to actually start to talk in like, you know, some of these tools, you need to have a pretty complicated prompt to get what you want efficiently, or you're going to have to go through 100 questions and answers. And so like writing these prompts, knowing what to ask is going to be the bigger impediment in adoption of this natural language communication.
Yeah, I think there's a whole new area of learning that needs to happen for the business users now that did not exist before because of how we can interact with AI or the natural language. And that in itself will become, I can see training programs around that as well.
Yeah, definitely human training and maybe even agents that will take a basic prompt and turn it into a really good prompt.
Yes. Yes.
That would be interesting.
You can see asking your AI agent, given your capabilities, here's what I'm trying to do. How should I ask you to, in order to get the maximum benefit or to maximize this or maximize that or minimize something else?
Yeah. These are some of the really interesting facets of the whole communication that I wasn't expecting myself. Is like asking the AI itself to give me ideas about how to communicate with it.
Yes. Yes. And there are some, I know we talk about startups in the retail or commerce space, but in the financial industries, where you're trading stocks and so on. There have been a few startups where they are using AI to look for patterns and provide quick feedback about what an investor or a trader should do. And part of their interface is to ask the AI, you know, here's what I like to see. Here's how much I have. Here's what my strategy is. Give me some options. Give me some potential, you know, things that I can do. So yeah. It becomes interactive, and it also educates you as to how to best use its capabilities.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess my prediction would be that it is going to take, it's going to grow, but it all is going to be dependent on the tools that companies create to make it easier for humans to have these natural conversations. Mm-hmm. So, all right, cool. So now we get to B2C.
Okay.
The consumer side. So the first one is zero click purchases. This is a very interesting concept. You know, the click has been the holy grail for the last 30 years. It's all about the click. How many clicks did you get? Pay per click, cost per click. The click is the thing. And we are seeing the click losing its status. What do you think about the click?
So, you know, in order for the click to you know, even when you subscribe, which is like automated replenishment, but for the B2C, there's usually a confirmation or something that says, okay, it's coming up, you know, you want to confirm what you have. But if you don't confirm, you'll get everything that's on the list. So that is clickless. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, how AI can change, can change the decision-making, the buying behavior, where if I set it, my agent, the way I want to buy something, and if the criteria are met, it's, you know, I said, I'm in the market for XYZ. Now the price is right. Obviously the timing is right, because I said so. Delivery is fast. And, you know, if it meets a certain criteria, then it will automatically make that purchase. So how do we start measuring that? That's a whole different conversation. But yes, the click, you know, not in 2025, but maybe a couple of years down the road, will be a very different concept we'll need to think through.
Yeah, conversion, I guess, is going to be really different. And maybe good to expand on that a little bit. It's not that there are no clicks or actions at all, but I think this concept of zero click is that it's all going to happen in the same experience. So you start a conversation with an AI agent, it's not going to give you a list of websites to go click on those and go find things and then come back. The whole right. cycle of information discovery, sourcing, location, all of these things, pricing, transaction, everything's going to happen in the same experience. It could be, it could be an app, but even apps like have a lot of maybe redundant actions right now. So that's like a very interesting prospect that I'm thinking about, how, especially in AI, you know, with AI agents.
Yeah. And you're pointing to something that's highly personalized, because what will work for me may not work for you. So it's highly personalized and deeply contextual in order to make that zero click happen.
Yes. Yes. And in order for that to happen, of course, the agent needs to have access to your data. And how safe do you feel to give it that much access to your data? Now, maybe for shopping, it's a little bit easier. When it gets to medical applications and things like that, it's going to be a lot more questionable for us, because we're just not used to it, right? So, right. Yeah. So I think I'm also in agreement that the click is going to start to lose its traditional meaning and effect. And it'll be really interesting to see how AI agents, AI shopping agents, are going to help move that forward.
Right.
The next item in B2C is virtual try-ons and experiential commerce. Enhanced generative AI models will create hyper-realistic virtual try-ons for clothing, furniture, beauty products, and immersive AI-driven shopping experiences. But like, as far as the AI is concerned, that's like a really interesting, is like creating graphics or video on the fly based on a product and me. That's very interesting.
Sure, and it's done in real time. Yep.
Yeah.
So limitations around that is just, you know, amount of bandwidth that you have, and the processing power on your, you know, iPhone. So are we all getting the latest iPhone or Samsung or not?
Mm-hmm.
So directionally, it makes a lot of sense. And we're finding a lot of different ways when we're making those purchases. But I can see virtual try-ons and AR. I'm not sure how much about the VR, but definitely with augmented reality playing a role in 2025.
Okay. Next one is AI enhanced customer service. This is a big one, right? AI agents will handle more nuanced customer service issues, offering human-like assistance via text, video, or voice.
Yeah, you know, this is an area that has a lot of potential, but it also has a high risk of frustration if it's not done properly. If you go at it half-hearted, you know, because that is the interaction that the consumer has with your brand, with your e-commerce site. So the potential is there. When it's done well, it can be very helpful, and you should always have the ability to do a segue right from a chatbot, an AI agent, to a real person when you get to a certain point, if it's not solvable. But, you know, probably 80% of the queries are solvable by an AI agent.
Okay. Yeah, so this is probably one of the most active areas as far as like startups that I'm seeing in the space. Not either startups or established players actually putting this, like, you know, the perfect example is Agentforce, right? Salesforce Agentforce.
Mm-hmm.
They are making a huge push on that, and it is directly in this area. I don't know if you've seen the ads. I've seen them on streaming TV where Matthew McConaughey is getting dressed up, and it says this store probably didn't have Agentforce. So this lady doesn't know what I like, and she's putting all this crazy clothing on me. I don't know if you've seen it. It's very interesting. They've done like a few ads I've seen.
I have not, but it sounds creative and well done. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Next one is dynamic pricing and performance promotions. Optimize pricing strategies in real time based on market demand, competitor actions, and individual willingness to pay. This is very interesting.
Yeah. So I have some basic philosophical problem with dynamic pricing when it's when if I go in, whether it's in the store or dynamically on a website, where I can get a price that's different from you when you're navigating that same physical location or that same website for the exact same product, exact same style, color, size, etc., and my price is higher or lower than yours or vice versa. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. So I have a basic issue with that. But the notion of for a retailer, a physical retailer, to be able to say, you know, during this time period of the day, I am going to reduce the prices by X percent or increase by X percent, because it's kind of like when you're when you're driving or going commuting, and there's peak time kind of pricing versus non-peak time.
Right.
So it can make sense, but it applies to everybody versus you or I, based on our purchase history or our ability to pay, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get a bad deal.
That's a very interesting point. And in a way, I feel like we're going back to haggling, and our AI agents are going to like haggle based on data. Like, they're going to know how much money you have to offer you. I mean, again, there's definitely limitations, but that's like the interesting thing, is that like my price is not going to be the same as yours on everything at every time. Even for myself, it could be different.
So as long as we know we're haggling versus that it's a fait accompli, the other side decides what the price will be without my being able to say, you know what, I'm going to pick it up at another store, or I'll go over to Target or to Amazon or Walmart or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's the concept of, I'm sure you've been at bazaars where they give you a price, you say no, and you walk away, and then the merchant runs after you. Like, I'm thinking like AI agents running after people physically and saying, hey, okay, come back, I'll have a better price for you. We have this in a way right now anyway, like recapture when somebody leaves something in a cart, but it's going to be more interactive and real time, probably.
The wild, wild west meets AI.
Yeah. So the next one is sustainable and ethical commerce. Of course, we all know what those are. It's going to be easier to get information, right? So for consumers to make a decision, they can't say, I didn't know anymore as much, right? So this conscious decision-making on what you say you believe, and then you throw it all away when you go shopping on Temu or Amazon or whatever, it's going to be harder to do for consumers.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. If we had this conversation a year ago, 2 years ago, definitely sustainability, ESG, the sustainability around the supply chain, and so on, these concepts were alive, were there. But now I'm seeing even large players like Walmart, in their recent reporting, they said, you know, we're not going to meet our 2025 or 2030 goals, So I'm not sure how much influence or pressure external by the consumer will actually exist in 2025. My sense is, and it's not guessing, it's my sense based on the data that I'm seeing and decisions are being made, that 2025 is not going to be a year where that is going to rise to in the top echelon of in the decision making by retailers or consumers.
Okay, that's a good point. My thought is that for mass market products, maybe not, but I feel that there is a segment, a niche segment, of consumers that really care about what they are buying. And that segment is going to get stronger. And there will be retailers and brands that will even cater to them even more. And they're going to help them even more with AI. So my prediction is that for, yes, Walmart, Costco, maybe not, I don't know, you know, like the big mass merchants, not. But for the niche players, I think it's going to be different.
That's a real good point. And I think it does become, well, 5 years ago, I wrote something around ESG and how retailers were managing. And I looked historically to, 10, 15 years ago and the direction. And the projection to 2025 and beyond was this would become, table stakes. But I think it, instead, at least during the next year or two, it's going to be more of a niche play, as you described it.
Yes.
And definitely for those consumers, and they do exist, that will be a big differentiator, and that will help those brands and retailers.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And I think to close it off, so there are things that go across B2B and B2C, of course. Again, the voice and conversational AI voice is starting to become more and more popular with AI agents and LLMs, actually all pretty much like getting into the voice.
Yep.
Side. So that's going to be an interesting one. Proactive AI agents. That's a very interesting area as well.
Yeah. So voice definitely is just makes it that much easier. So instead of having to type all that, you can just natural language voice. It's wonderful to be able to do that. Okay. And the whole idea of a proactive AI agent, I think that is the definite next step regarding how to best utilize AI, whether agent for me, agent for for the company, for the buying group, the merchant, and so on. It's it becomes really important, and that will require very thoughtful training and to understand where the guardrails are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Fully agree on that. The other thing that is important and it's going to be a part of everything we do, especially with AI, is privacy and regulations. I mean, these are two big areas that we still haven't figured out. We're trying to figure things out. So,
yeah, and we are moving so fast on technology front, and even though we talked about AI had been in our language 50 years ago, it really took off once ChatGPT came around. It captured the imagination of the consumers. So. That it becomes kind of like, just like the spreadsheet was the killer app for Microsoft, ChatGPT is now the new mm-hmm. killer app for technology companies in general. So it is something that is moving so quickly that it's bypassing any existing regulations, guardrails, thoughts. We're just getting so much benefit and so much enjoyment or so much entertainment from it that we're not really thinking about what does it mean in order for it to do what it does, what does it need, and does it hang on to that? Does somebody else tap into that? What happens to our data? And that will become a fundamental question. Maybe not in 2025, but it will become a fundamental question. Right now we're in this euphoria.
Yeah, it is. And I know that one of your your areas that you're interested in is the ownership of our personal data. So that's
yes.
going to be very interesting to see how we are going to make any improvements or I guess progress towards that. I would say probably not in 2025.
Oh, definitely not in 2025. But the whole idea of privacy and data ownership, and we all understand how important and crucial data is. And mega corporations are making a lot of money off of that. But at some point, we have to draw a line. We have to say, okay, this is my data. I need to be able to control it, and I will have an agent that works for me, that determines who gets access to it, mm-hmm. and who does not, and gets access to it for a certain transaction, for a certain event, whatever that might be. So I do envision the future where individuals have more control over that, but it does, you know, come in fierce
competition, challenges
with the status quo.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was a fun conversation as always. I appreciate your outlook, and you know, I'm sure we're going to talk again, and maybe, you know, in 3 months we'll take a look and say, was any of these things correct?
Absolutely. So, thank you so much, Darius.
Thank you so much.
Take care, everybody out there.
Take care. Bye-bye.